Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna. First thing we'll listen to, maybe you're the one for this one, find something fun to hear. I think this is Krishna Willing. This is London, March 12th, 1975. Ready? Okay. Excuse me? Madhya, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 22. Now let's try this one. Let's try the other one. March 12th, London. Let's see if we can get it right, though.
When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was requested by one of his devotees that, "Sir, you have come. You just liberate all the residents of this universe." That will make me very happy. And if you think they're so impious, they cannot be liberated, then I am ready to take up their sinful activities. But you take them away. At that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that even one in universe is liberated. Still, there are so many universes. This universe is just like one master seed in the bag of a master. Just imagine how many universes are there. All these together, that is 1/4 energy demonstration of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is said in the Bhagavad Gita, ekamshena sthitu jagat. It is only 1/4 the demon manifestation. The 3/4 manifestation in the spiritual world. So, just imagine God's creation. It is inconceivable by us, but we can learn it by savanam. That is the only way. We, even in this material world, in this universe, we have heard of so many planets, but it is not possible to go and see. They cannot go even in the moon planet. And still they are very much proud of their advancement of knowledge. So, we cannot understand. But if we patiently hear from the right source, then we can may have some concept. It's like the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, parastasmat bhava nya bhava sabhava or nature. There is another nature. So we have to hear. By hearing, this is the beginning of bhakti. Savanam. Savanam, kirtanam, Vishnu. We have to hear, and after hearing, we have to repeat. That is called kirtanam. So, in this way, there are 9 different processes, you know. Navadha bhakti, savaram, kirtanam, Vishnu, smaranam, padasevanam, archanam, bandhanam, dasam, sakham, apunivedanam. So, because these activities, devotional activities, are on the spiritual platform, all of them are absolute. It is not that if you are hearing but you are not chanting, then your result will be little less than the other who is hearing and chanting. No. It is absolute truth. Just like if you test a sugar candy, lump of sugar candy, from any side you test, the sweetness is there. There is no difference that if you test this side, then it is more sweet than the other side. Krishna is complete, absolute truth. So, any side, if you become expert in hearing, that is as good as one is engaged in other 8 processes or 9 processes. That is stated in this Shastra. Just like Parikshit Maharaj, he simply listened. He did not do any other process. Sri Vishnu Savane Parikshit. They got liberation simply by executing one of the 9 different processes. Sri Vishnu Savane Parikhit Avabhad Vaya Sadhiki Itana. Parikhit Maharaj got liberation simply by hearing. And Shukadeva Goswami, he got liberation simply by chanting. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj, he got liberation simply by memorizing, smarane. Lakshmi ji, simply by serving the lotus feet of Narayana. So, Krishna consciousness is in the absolute platform. There is no relativity. In the temple, I say, as there are so many different duties, one is worshipping directly the deity, decorating the deity, and the other is washing the temple. It does not mean that the one who is cleansing the deity is less important than the person who is in the temple room, deity room. No. Because it is absolute. The deity, as the deity is important, similarly, the floor of the temple is also important. Same important. Because it is absolute. So, in executing our devotional service, we are engaged in different duties. Somebody is cooking, somebody is decorating the deity, somebody is cleansing the floor, somebody is going to sell books, somebody is doing something, everything. Nidbhagne Krishna Sambhagne. In relationship with Krishna. Because the relationship is there with Krishna, that every activity which we are doing, that is complete. There is no such material distinction. It's like here in the material world, somebody is sitting in the office chair and somebody is cleansing the office. So the cleaner is supposed to be lower than the officer. But in the spiritual world, there is no such distinction. The officer and the cleaner, they are of the same importance. That is, in Krishna with Krishna. That is spiritual world. In Vrindavan, the cowherd boys, they are playing with Krishna on equal terms. They do not know Krishna is God. They simply know how to love Krishna. That's all. There is no need of thinking that Krishna is greater than the other cowherd's boy, their living entity. There is no such sense. Krishna wants them. That is, Goloka Vrindavan worship. Simply, the center is Krishna and all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they love Krishna and they do not know anything except Krishna. This is Vrindavan life. Everyone knows that Krishna is my very intimate friend. Somebody knows Krishna is my son. Somebody knows that Krishna is my master. Somebody is thinking Krishna is my lover. But center is Krishna. The cows, the calves, the friends, the gopis, and the cowherd's boy, Krishna's father, Nanda Maharaj, Krishna's mother, Yashomati. Everyone's center is Krishna. How Krishna will be happy. This is Vrindavan. if we try to follow the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan, how to love Krishna, then our life is successful. That is the recommendation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Very soothing, very satisfying, very instructive. Brother Raman, now, before we read about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dancing, more about his dancing at the Rath Yatra court during the festival, I wanted to establish the mood of the residents of Vrindavan by reading some verses from Padyavali. The level of dancing that Mahaprabhu is going to do is of the deepest level. But it is based, as Prabhupada explained, on love for Krishna. And as we go through our day, whether we are in Vrindavan or we're not in Vrindavan, the tendency is to be in our mind only. And this does not allow us access to the land of Krishna and our relationship with Krishna. We have to, as Prabhupada said, in Vrindavan, Krishna is the center. In my mind, who's the center? It all revolves around me. And that is called Maya. Because, as we've been saying, in reality, it doesn't revolve around us at all. So to establish something of a mood, I'd like to read. Just a few verses. Since in the forest by the Yamuna, I saw this person whose complexion is the color of a dark rain cloud, my heart has been trembling like a drop of water on a lotus leaf. Everyone is simply attracted to Krishna in Vrindavan. O Lord of the universe, her body was licked by the flames of love for you, and thus Radha fell from her bed to the floor and could not rise again. O Mukunda, how will I describe the sufferings of this doe-eyed girl? Her sighs constantly fan the flame of her suffering. When a beautiful lotus petal is placed upon her burning breast, it first becomes dried. Then it shrivels. Then it turns to powder. And then it becomes a blazing dust fire. O friend, if Yarupati Krishna will not come here, let him not come. If, out of separation from him, my life breath goes away, let it go. The fact that I will never again see the moon-like face of Krishna is a great thunderbolt striking my heart. There is no sandalwood incense in the home of the Vaishyas. There are no flowers in any forest. There are no lotuses in the waters of the rivers and streams. No one is peaceful because of the torture of separation from Krishna. No one is peaceful. Mother Yasoda said to Krishna, "My child, I invited Radha to a party at night. Her husband wasn't at home. She left her empty home and came here. And when she came, the servants were very agitated and said, "How can a chaste wife travel about all alone? How can she return to our home unaccompanied?" "For this reason, my child, my dear child Krishna, I want you to escort her home." When Radha and Madhava heard Mother Yasoda's words, they glanced at each other. All glories to their sweetly smiling, gentle glance. Everyone in Vrindavan loves Krishna. They have no other thought other than pleasing Krishna. So we'll start reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita in this Madhya Lila 13. Mahaprabhu is deeply entering the mood of Sri Mati Radharani and feeling deep separation for Jagannath and moving and trying to bring him to the Gandhicha temple, which is Sri Vrindavan. So this is text 98. Everyone was astonished by the dancing of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and even Lord Jagannath became extremely happy to see him. The car came to a complete standstill, and it remained immobile while Lord Jagannath, with unblinking eyes, watched the dancing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Does it continue on the sheet? Okay, then just listen. Just listen then. But listen carefully, please. The goddess of fortune, Subhadra, and Lord Balaram both felt great happiness and ecstasy within their hearts. Indeed, they were seen smiling at the dancing. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced and jumped high, eight wonderful transformations indicative of divine ecstasy were seen in his body. All these symptoms were visible simultaneously. What is that called, the eight symptoms? Asta Satvika Bhav. This is Mahabhav. Mahaprabhu was entering into Mahabhav, into the mood, deeply into the mood of the separation of Srimati Radharani. His skin erupted with goose pimples. Did I read this yesterday? And the hairs of his body stood on end. His body resembled the simile silk cotton tree, all covered with thorns. Indeed, the people became afraid to see his teeth chatter, and they even thought his teeth would fall out. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's whole body flowed with perspiration, and at the same time it oozed blood. He made the sounds, "Jaja Gaga, Jaja Gaga," in a voice choked with ecstasy. Tears came forcefully from the eyes of the Lord. Now, the reason, again, why I read some verses first is to establish what is going on internally in the mind of Sriman Mahaprabhu that makes him exhibit these symptoms externally. Tears. It is not dancing. It is ecstasy. His heart is dancing. His heart is collapsing. His heart is crying in such an intense way that these symptoms are what are manifest in his body. But this, amazing as it seems, as we hear about it, is the highest of highest of highest, is spiritual ecstasy, having nothing to do with the material world. Yet, by the mercy of Srila Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj, we are getting a glimpse of it. He has heard directly from Raghunath Das Goswami, who has witnessed all these things. Tears came forcefully from the eyes of the Lord as if from a syringe, and all the people surrounding him became wet. Everyone saw the complexion of his body change from white to pink, so that his luster resembled that of the mallika flower. Sometimes he appeared stunned, and sometimes he rolled on the ground. Indeed, sometimes his legs and hands became as hard as dry wood. And he did not move. When the Lord fell to the ground, sometimes his breathing almost stopped. And when the devotees saw this, their own lives became feeble. Water flowed from his eyes and sometimes through his nostrils, and foam fell from his mouth. These flowings appeared to be torrents of nectar descending from the moon. The foam which fell from the mouth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taken and drunk by Subhananda because he was very fortunate and expert in relishing the mellows of ecstatic love of Krishna. From the material point of view, it is repulsive. Such a thing is repulsive to the mind. From the spiritual point of view, Subhananda was expert. He knew what was flowing from Mahaprabhu, the ecstasy, and he relished that ecstasy. And after performing his devastating dance for some time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mind entered into a mood of ecstatic love. After abandoning the dancing, the Lord ordered Srup Damodar to sing. Understanding his mind, Srup Damodar began to sing as follows. Now, I would just like to read one short section of Ananda Vrindavan Champu, which describes something that Maharaj spoke about in perhaps his first class. Something that we talk about when we walk around Vrindavan, we look at the tree that Krishna touched with his lotus feet before jumping into the Yamuna, before he chastised Kaliya. And we walk around Vrindavan in our happy mood, which is wonderful. It is really wonderful because it's freedom from material absorption. But there is a depth of spiritual absorption that is available. And Mahaprabhu teaching that is tasting it to the highest level. And again, that is the mood of Srimati Radharani. So we walk around, we think about the Kaliya pastime, and we think how sweet. And again, it is so sweet. But when Krishna entered the water of the Yamuna, this was the reaction of Srimati Radharani, and this is the reaction of Mahaprabhu. This type of reaction is the reaction of Mahaprabhu as he's dancing. It's a complete devastation due to the intensity of his love for Krishna. So when Krishna entered the water, the gopis could not hear anything. They could not see anything. They could not say anything. Their minds went with Krishna and their bodies shook uncontrollably. Oh, excuse me. Yes, but not right now. This is when Krishna entered the water at a different time, when he went to rescue Nanda Maharaj, when Varuna had kidnapped Nanda Maharaj. Their bodies shook uncontrollably. Just imagine the intensity of emotion, the intensity of love. When one or ten or a hundred or a thousand of the billion people in this world that we have no relationship die, we don't tremble at all. We don't even notice. Our heart doesn't skip a beat. If someone we love is injured or there's fear for his life, there is difficulty, great difficulty. Just imagine loving Krishna. And Krishna, through his pastimes, is just playing the emotions. Really, the Leela Shakti is doing this, and Krishna's own emotions are being played with. And his emotions means his ecstasy. There is variegatedness in the spiritual world. In a world full of changes, pure love is the only constant. Although withering away due to separation from Krishna, Radhika managed to sustain her life by the power of her Krishna prema. Even though her sakis fanned her with a lotus and tal leaves and sprinkled her with sandal water, the Priya Sakis could not reduce Radhika's high fever and separation from Krishna. Luckily, her friend named Murcha, unconsciousness, arrived to extinguish the fire. She went, became unconscious. She feared for Krishna's safety. All day long in the universe of my mind, I fear only for my safety. This, my dear Burizan, will not do. It will not do in Krishna consciousness. The center must change. Love must develop. Seeing that the filaments of cotton held under her nose, that they were moving slightly with her breathing, the Sakis understood that Radha still lived. When a smart Saki said, "Krishna is coming," Radha opened her eyes and returned to external consciousness with great difficulty. But not seeing Krishna, however, Radhika just stared into space. Her eyes looked like a pair of blue lotuses painted on a canvas. Even though Radhika heard her friend saying, "Krishna will be coming in a moment," she thought, "If one moment becomes like one yuga of time, am I to blame for suffering such pains of separation?" And not seeing Krishna before her, Radha felt even more anguish. Hot sparks of fire in her heart shot forth as tears mixed with her kajal and dripped in black streams down her golden lotus face. This is Vrindavan. There is a great symphony of ecstasy that is being played there, and all the residents of Vrindavan and Krishna himself are moved up and down and up and down, relishing different flavors of rasa, different ecstasies. This is Vrindavan. So this is what Mahaprabhu is experiencing as he's dancing. And the internal emotions, the fire of pain, of separation from Krishna, is pouring from her heart, his heart, like tears, and they are acting as syringes, and they are moistening everyone surrounding. They are that powerful. They are being spread like this. This is love for Krishna. So Mahaprabhu stopped his dancing, and he asked Swarup Damodar to sing. And Swarup Damodar sang, Seta paraya natta payanu yaha lagi madhara dahane jore gainu. Now I have gained the Lord of my life, in the absence of whom I was being burned by Cupid and was withering away. Okay, but you have to do it fast because I won't read while it's being passed out. So now we are entering into Kurukshetra. And the scene of Kurukshetra is one of the most significant scenes, chapters, pastimes in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. Please don't read them right now, please. Because after Krishna left Vrindavan, he was so young, and he said, "I'm coming, just now coming, to tomorrow, the next day, he sent that message back very quickly. I'm just returning, don't worry. And then Nanda Maharaj, after the killing of Kamsa, he returned without Krishna. And all of Vrindavan withered and died, practically speaking. When Uddhava came after some time to deliver the message, a message of Krishna to the gopis, Krishna let him first see, and the Bhagavatam describes this, he first let him see the unmanifested Vrindavan where there is no separation from Krishna, where Krishna is actually there. And in fact, that is where the residents of Vrindavan live. They live always with Krishna. And the externals of their separation, their love for Krishna is so intense that it draws them into the Aprakat Leela, from the Prakat Leela to the Aprakat Leela. Because Krishna cannot stay away from them, practically speaking. But it is their separation on the Prakat level that pulls them into the association of Krishna on the Aprakat level. And those pastimes are continuously going on eternally. Eternally, continuously going on. And there is no effect of time. It is the spiritual world, but it's unmanifest to ordinary vision. And that Aprakat Leela is going on here. And that is what Prabhupada, he would always quote that, hey, Brajadeva, Kechalalite, that the Goswamis were cultivating the mood of separation from Krishna, because that mood of separation, it nourishes the heart. Not, oh, I have seen Krishna. I saw him yesterday. I saw him last night. I've actually met people like that years ago. Only one person, actually, when I was in Hong Kong, of all places. One lady. Yes. But this is not the process, actually. The process is missing Krishna. And that missing Krishna, cultivating separation from Krishna, not cultivating the mood of separation from all the sense objects that we feel separation from, but separation from Krishna, all attractive, beautiful Krishna. If we can miss Krishna, we will be with Krishna. So the specific mood of Kurukshetra is quite amazing, because Krishna, after being absent from the residence of Vrindavan for a very long time, year after year, after him saying, I'm coming back, I was mentioning that Uddhava was allowed to see, by Krishna's grace, this very, very happy, all blissful Vrindavan, and then that vision was taken away from him. And he saw the prakat, the manifest pastimes, and the trees had no flowers. All the bulls and cows were not frolicking in the pasturing ground. Yes, it was ecstasy. But it wasn't the Vrindavan that we read about, where Krishna is performing his pastimes. It's not the Vrindavan where every living entity, from the trees to the grass to the deer to the bees, they're only thinking, as Prabhupada said, is how can I please Krishna? How can I please Krishna? How can I please Krishna? And the trees are offering their flowers. And the shrubs, the plants are offering their flowers, and the peacocks are offering their feathers, and the clouds are offering their shade and their rain. This is what Prabhupada was saying, that every service on the spiritual level is the same. There is no envy where everyone is unsatisfied and wishing to do it. I wish I was this. I wish I was the highest. I wish. No, that's absent. Everyone is just offering Krishna the fruit of their soul, so to speak. The fruit of their devotion, their individual natures. So the Vrindavan that Uddhava saw after a few moments was not like that at all. It was a different kind of Vrindavan. It was a Vrindavan that was withering in the ecstasy of separation from Krishna. And Uddhava came and he saw, and we spoke a little about what he told Nanda Maharaj. And then he met the gopis, and perhaps we'll speak a little about that. But then they were only interested in when will Krishna come? When will Krishna come back to Vrindavan? When would we can be with Krishna in Vrindavan? When we will be with Krishna in Vrindavan? When will Krishna come back? When will Krishna come back? Because Krishna had captivated the consciousness of everyone. This is what it means to be in Vrindavan, to be captivated by Krishna, enraptured by Krishna, enthralled by Krishna, in full love for Krishna, absorbed in our consciousness, absorbed in Krishna. So then, even after Uddhava went back, and there's some of the verses, and all these, because Krishna had sent him with a message for the gopis, with many, many messages, and each of the messages had many, many, many meanings. And he was speaking on some level, some of the messages. He wanted to remove the separation, because Krishna had given the messages to remove the separation of the Braja Gopis for Krishna. And some of the messages were Brahma Gyan, that you should see that I'm everywhere, and you should see because I'm everywhere, and because you are the soul, and the soul is in me, and all the material energies are in me, and therefore there is no question, because we're living in Krishna, there is no actual question of being separated from Krishna. And the gopis took that message and said, very nice, Uddhava. You have given us this message that removes this Brahma Gyan, that removes the miseries of this world. But that is not our problem. Our problem is prema. We love Krishna so fully. And your message of Brahma Gyan does not touch our problem of prema, and our beloved Krishna is not here. So you can take your message of Brahma Gyan, and you can become our messenger, and you bring it to your Krishna, and you help him remove his prem from us with that message that he's suffering from. They were angry at Krishna because he had left. They had given everything to Krishna. But all these again, all these varieties of emotions on this platform, when we're angry at somebody, we're angry at them. There is no love in the heart. But on the spiritual platform, it is just varieties of ecstatic love for Krishna, especially Vrindavan. So you tell your Krishna that he can remove his prem with his problem of prem for us with his Brahma Gyan. But for us, we don't want it removed. We want to carry it for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of births. Their love for Krishna was, of course, unequaled. So Krishna went back. Uddhava was astounded by the love of the gopis, and he was just simply desiring, when he left Vrindavan, he was desiring just to become the grass of Vrindavan, because he knew that the gopis, because he stayed for several months, and he saw the gopis' love for Krishna, and he was simply interested in taking the dust from their feet. But of course the gopis would never give it to him, so he was praying that he would become a creeper in Vrindavan. What's the name of that creeper? The general creepers in the, there's a name, huh?
Gulma.
And then the gopis would step on that, and the dust of their feet would be transferred to that creeper that was him. And he would be satisfied with that. So he brought back to Krishna the message of the report of how the gopis were doing. And as the gopis in Bhomya Leela and the activities in this world were experiencing the deepest separation from Krishna, and the ecstasies thereon, Krishna was similarly experiencing separation from the gopis and crying and crying and crying. But still Krishna did not return. He did not return. He did not return. He did not return. And then Balaram came to Vrindavan. And still, after Balaram returned, Krishna did not return. And this was after years and years and years and years. And years. And years. And after Balaram came, the desire, the understanding that he had to return to Vrindavan, because everyone said the residents of Vrindavan, they will not be able to maintain their lives if you don't return. Actually, as with what Mahaprabhu was said, that it's only their prem that maintain their lives, because they did not want to cause the Krishna the misery, be the heartache of being the cause of the death of his beloveds. That's what maintained their lives. Other than that, they had no desires to maintain their lives. This is Vrindavan. This is complete love. We suffer because of our selfishness. So, there was the occasion of a solar eclipse. And this was after tens of years, and many of the Yadus, the members of the Yadu dynasty, were coming to Kurukshetra, which is in North India, and Krishna was coming, and Vasudev, and all of Krishna's thousands of queens were coming, because of the auspiciousness of bathing in the holy lakes there that were created by Parsaram, when he removed the Kshatriyas again and again from the face of the earth. And to bathe in those lakes at the time of a solar eclipse is considered extremely auspicious. So all the Yadus had gathered, so many sages had gathered. And when the residents of Vrindavan heard that Krishna was going to be there, they had to come. They had to come. And indeed, they loaded all their possessions and gifts and all milk products for Krishna and Balaram on their bullock carts, and they went the hundreds of kilometers from Brajabhumi to Kurukshetra. And then, could you? Let's see if it's the right one. Yes, this is a verse from the 31st chapter, part of the Rasa Dance, where Krishna had left. Very, very important verse, but this will give us a glimpse of what the of course we can't glimpse what they were experiencing, but it will allow us the slightest of slightest glimpses. Atat tiyat bhavanani kananan Chuti yuga yute tvama pasyatam kutila kuntalam sri mukam chate Dadao dikshatam pakshmakritrisham.
So atati yad bhavan. Every day, Ani, every day, Kananam, every day, Krishna, you go to the forest. This is what the gopis are thinking. Krishna, you go to the forest every day. And atruti, which is 1/1700, almost a 2,000th of a second, seems like a yuga, thousands and thousands of years. One second when Krishna goes to the forest seems like thousands of years. And kutula and tama pashyatam, when we can't see you, atruti seems like thousands of years when we can't see you. And kutila kuntalam, your beautiful, beautiful hair, and beautiful Sri Mukam, your beautiful face, when we're absent from, when we can't see that, jada udiksitam paksmakrit. Paksmakrit means the blinking of the eyes. When our eyes blink and we can't see your Sri Mukam with its beautiful, beautiful, beautiful curling hair, jada udikshitam. These cultured, naturally submissive and reverential young ladies, they curse Brahma, the creator, because he's jada, he is so dull. Akshanvantan phalamidam napram vidama. The perfection of the eyes, the purpose of the eyes, is only to see Krishna. And you give us the face of Krishna, but you are so dull-minded that you place before our eyes eyelids that blink. And for that amount of time, we can't see Krishna. And that causes such incredible anxiety in our hearts, and we cannot see your beautiful face, O Krishna. So these gopis, who the blinking of their eye caused the greatest amount of anxiety, they hadn't seen Krishna for years and years and years and years. And now they at Kurukshetra were going to see him after that time. So, of course, we don't experience true love in this world. So it's hard for us even to get, and as Kali Yuga goes on, the lack of love that everyone experiences from their friends, from their family members, from their wives and children, all the social fabric, Kali Yuga disintegrates. The children want to leave their parents as soon as possible. The parents want the children to leave as soon as possible because they're causing them so much anxiety. Some they don't want to do anything. The parent, they don't want to do anything. Kali Yuga, the divorce, the children don't have parents. So people are so lacking the experience of love. They're always feeling the vacuum in their hearts of lack of, even on the social level. So it's getting more and more difficult to even say, well, if you take the love that you have for your beloved in this world and multiply it by a billion times, it's something like the love for Krishna. Because everyone is empty in Kali Yuga. Empty and crying inside. And where do they look for love? In ignorance. Just, you know, some crazy computer game, video game, where they're completely taking shelter of illusion. the material world is illusion, so this is an illusion inside of an illusion inside of an illusion. And when you walk past these video parlors on the street, it's like waves of ignorance are just pouring out like a pub, a bar. And this is what where people go to erase the pain of life and intoxication. Intoxication and insanity. This is what Kali Yuga is offering. But Mahaprabhu wants to offer something else. He wants to offer Krishna Prema in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan, which will, if we get a glimpse of that, and that was one of the verses that Mahaprabhu first said, that we began Stiram Chiram, that he was so merciful to the moving and non-moving living entities that because he gave Krishna prema, which removes the misery of material existence. We cannot remove it in other ways. We cannot try to rearrange the pieces of our consciousness to make us satisfied. And it's Krishna's mercy that we cannot. We cannot go back and have the life that we're idealizing as wonderful. It cannot be done. Rather, we should understand the nature of the material world is regrettable. We've made a very big mistake. And just, okay, enough. I'm going home. I'm going back to Vrindavan to be with Krishna. Because he's so sweet. So what were the gopis experiencing after being separate? We've heard a little about their separation and their love for Krishna. What they were experiencing, what do we have in our hearts that we can times it by a million, a billion, a quadrillion? Yes, reciprocation. What do we have to get a glimpse of what it is? All we can do is just simply hear. And just simply hear about these most wonderful, most secret of all secrets. This is rahasya. This is the secret of all secrets. And the secret is, as Brahma, Krishna tells Brahma in the Chaturthi Bhagavatam verses, Yatamahanti Bhutani Bhutesu Chesva Chesva Vanu Pravastani Pravastani Mamatesu Nateshvaham. It's a very, very esoteric meaning that Srila Jiva Goswami explains, how the elements are outside and they're inside the universe, and Krishna says, just like I am outside and I'm also inside the universe. And Jiva Goswami explains, and this is the secret meaning of some of these, one of the secret meanings of some of these very esoteric Brahmagyani sounding verses that Uddhava is telling Krishna, because Krishna speaks in many, many levels of meanings. But his meaning also is that just as I am outside this universe, but I'm in it, what causes me to be in it? It is the love for my devotees that brings me here. And that is the rahasya, the secret of all the Vedic literatures, that I come in reciprocation with love, with prema bhakti of my devotees. And this is what's being exhibited here. So Kurukshetra, Mahaprabhu is entering into that mood of the most intense anxiety of the topmost of the devotees. The topmost of the devotees are the devotees of Vrindavan. And the topmost of the devotees in Vrindavan, of course, this is looking at it from the highest point of view, and we can't discriminate between their love on another level. But it's the gopis that are the highest, most complete. And of all the gopis, Krishna will say that Srimati Radharani is the highest. So the intensity of her separation, Mahaprabhu was entering into in the mood of Kurukshetra, when a blinking of the eye causes the tremendous anxiety, and they haven't seen Krishna in years and years and years, and now they're going to see him. But it is not in Vrindavan. So what a mixture in the rasa this Leela is creating. Krishna is there, finally. But he's a king. And he has thousands and thousands of queens. And the residents of Vrindavan are there. Krishna is the most powerful king. With his thousands of queens, he's conquered everyone, and all the sages are surrounding him. And there, these simple village ladies are there, having no position like Krishna's position, no means of access, except they possess this rahasya to a degree that it is impossible for anyone else to even estimate. They are the highest of premis, prema bhaktis. That is, they are the greatest wealth, but yet they're there. So Mahaprabhu is entering this mood. And he's asking Sarup Damodar to sing the song, to provide the surroundings that's going to enhance his mood. This special mood of Srimati Radharani seeing Krishna in the dress of a king, with the elephants and the swords and the armies and the queens and Vasudev and Devaki. So far from the sweet land of Vrindavan. That specific mood of Srimati Radharani, Krishna is so, Mahaprabhu is so eager to taste. Now I have gained the Lord of my life, Srup Damodar sings, in the absence of whom I was being burned by Cupid and was withering away. And when this refrain was loudly sung by Srup Damodar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again began rhythmically dancing in transcendental bliss. While dance in the car of Lord Jagannath began to move slowly, while the son of Mother Sachi went ahead and danced in front. While dancing and singing, all the devotees in front of Lord Jagannath kept their eyes on him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went to the end of the procession with the Sankirtan performers. His eyes, because he was seeing Shyamasundar Krishna, his eyes and mind were absorbed in Lord Jagannath. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to play the drama of the song with his two hands. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dramatically enacting the song, he would sometimes fall behind in the procession. At such times, Lord Jagannath would come to a standstill. He could not move. Mahaprabhu's mood of ecstasy in the mood of Srimati Radharani was too heavy, and he stopped the forward movement of the chariot of Lord Jagannath. At such times, Lord Jagannath would come to a standstill. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again went forward, Lord Jagannath's car would slowly start again. Thus there was sort of a competition between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Jagannath in seeing who would lead. Because Krishna, oh, he is Purushottama. He is the topmost of leaders, the topmost of men. Lila Purushottama. And when he deals with the residents of Vrindavan, sometimes it seems like he plays with them. He is so powerful. Of course, we know this. He is unlimitedly powerful. The unlimited supreme controller who knows everything. But he is being controlled here by his love, his lover, Srimati Radharani. Krishna becomes controlled by his devotees. And this brings the devotees so much happiness. Again, we've spoken about this point, that a Supreme Lord who requires all the living entities to offer their obeisances or else they suffer and submit to him, he is not very lovable. Yes, we'll pray to him, but there will be almost always so much fear in our prayers. If I don't pay my obeisances, if I don't go to the temple, to the church, I'm going to suffer, so much trouble will be mine. It is still, love is absent from such hearts. It is self-centered. That kind of Supreme Lord, that is not Krishna in Vrindavan. That is not our worshipable Lord. He is not the Lord of the residents of Vrindavan. Our Lord becomes conquered by the devotees' love. So, as aspiring devotees, that makes our mission of existence very clear and very, very simple. We have to learn to love Krishna. We have to learn to love. Not, again, not have to in the sense we don't have a choice. But, oh, if we want to accept the gift that Mahaprabhu is giving, we have to learn to love Krishna. We can't trick him in any way, and we can't use any of the gifts that we've acquired from our material good karma. We have to sincerely try and love him, that's all. Yes, we can use the gifts of our karma. We must, whatever we are, whatever we have, we should offer those with devotion. But it is the devotion that Krishna, that attracts Krishna. Thus, there was a sort of competition between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Jagannath in seeing who would lead. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so strong that he made Lord Jagannath wait in his car. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing, his ecstasy changed, and raising his two arms, he began to recite the following verse in a loud voice. Ya kumarahara sa'eva hi varas ta'eva chaitra chapas. That very personality, again, in the mood of Srimati Radharani at Kurukshetra, that which is such a complex rasa, because Krishna is there, Srimati Radharani is there, but Vrindavan is not there. That very personality who stole away my heart during my youth is now again my master. These are the same moonlit nights of the month of Chaitra. The same fragrance of Malati flowers is there, and the same sweet breezes are blowing from the Kadamba forest. In our intimate relationship, I am also the same lover. Yet, still my mind is not happy here. I am eager to go back to that place on the bank of the Reva, under the Vetasi tree, That is my desire. This verse was recited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again and again. But for Swarup Damodar, no one could understand its meaning because it is a mundane poem. And the Reva is the Narmada. The Reva River. But Mahaprabhu's inner mood, we have talked about. I have already explained this verse. Sri Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj says, and it's earlier in Madhya Lila. Now I shall simply describe it in brief. Formerly, all the gopis of Vrindavan were very pleased when they met with Krishna in the holy place of Kurukshetra. Similarly, after seeing Lord Jagannath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu awoke with the ecstasy of the gopis. And being absorbed in this ecstasy, he asked Swarup Damodar to sing the refrain. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke thus to Lord Jagannath. You are the same Krishna, and I am the same Radharani. We are meeting again in the same way that we met in the beginning of our lives. Although we are both the same, my mind is still attracted to Sri Vrindavan Dham. I wish that you will please again appear with your lotus feet in Vrindavan. Now, before we can appreciate, of course we can appreciate, but it's appropriate to look at the verses that the exchanges between Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan, and that will increase our appreciation of what Mahaprabhu is doing, and it will also increase our appreciation of what Kaviraj Goswami, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, has done. Because he is Narottama Das Thakur, has said, Krishnadas Kaviraj, Rasika Bhakta Maj, that he is the greatest of relishers of rasa. He has heard from Raghunath Das Goswami, and also from Srila Jiva Goswami, and he has expanded the meanings of the verses of Bhagavatam, or of any verse that he so desires, mostly of Bhagavatam, and expanded them with more or less Bengali commentaries that are so full of sweetness. So through the sweetness of his consciousness, he allows us to enter deeply into, by his comment, these expansions are basically commentaries. He allows us to enter more deeply. So let's look at these verses and see what happens when Krishna meets the residents of Vrindavan at Kurukshetra. I know it is very difficult to listen for extended periods of time. What was that exercise? We can either raise our hands in the air for how many minutes is required. We can just raise our hands. It reminds me a little like Haranyakashipu, though. So maybe there is the picture. So maybe there is a more Vrindavan way to do it while we're raising our hands. Do you have any ideas what we could do? Okay, but not whatever. That wasn't shouting out. Jai Sri Radhe. Jai Sri Radhe. One more, because we missed one. Jai Sri Radhe.
Their hands up in the sky.
Bolo Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai. That wasn't very loud. This, I don't think we're going to get the result with this. That's what I think. Let's.
They have to keep the. I mean, if you want the benefit, we have to keep the arms like.
But what
like
about this. The voice?
many things we shall say.
Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki jai! Bolo Giriraj Dara ki jai! Jai Jai Sri Radhe! Jai Jai Sri Radhe! Jai Jai Sri Radhe!
Keep the arms open. That's very, very important.
Jai Jai Sri Radhe! This is also a good. Everyone!
Krishna, the residents of Vrindavan, it seems, arrived in Kurukshetra before the Yadus. And when Nanda Maharaj learned that the Yadus had arrived with Krishna, He immediately went to see them, and all the cowherd men. Who arrived first isn't exactly clear, but they loaded. I think that the Yadus arrived at Kurukshetra, and Nanda Maharaj heard that from Vrindavan, and they loaded their carts with milk products for Krishna and Balaram and supplies, and they went to Kurukshetra. And seeing Nanda Maharaj, all the members of the Vrishni dynasty were so ecstatic to see him because they hadn't seen him in so long. And Vasudev embraced Nanda Maharaj with great joy. And he remembered the whole history of how Krishna and Balaram, due to Kamsa's horrible reign, had been placed in the care of Nanda Maharaj. And then Krishna and Balaram saw Nanda and Yasoda. And first Nanda and Yasoda embraced them very tightly. And of course, and then Krishna and Balaram, leaving all aside all etiquette, just embraced them. And then Krishna and Balaram bowed down. And Krishna and Balaram were quite old at this time. And Nanda Yasoda just took them on their laps. And it describes, one of the commentators described, there was the Ganga and the Yamuna flowing from the breasts of Mother Yasoda. It was just flowing and flowing. Her milk was flowing and flowing out of her maternal love for these two boys that they had. And she was treating them, and Nanda Maharaj, they were treating them just like they were 8 years old. This is always the vision of a mother. Just like 8 years old. And Mother Yasoda went into such ecstasy. She was just crying and embracing them, and milk was flowing from her breast, and she was so stunned. And along witnessing this was Rohini and Devaki, who had come to also see the residents of Vrindavan along with Krishna and Balaram. And Mother Devaki, she was shocked at the maternal love that Mother Yasoda was showing. But she was also shocked at Krishna's reciprocation. And they didn't know that anyone else existed, practically speaking. They forgot the rest of the world in their embracing. And then Rohini Devi, Rohini first and then Devaki began to speak to Mother Yasoda, because they began to think, especially the commentator, everything has so many different and deep meanings. And one of the commentators describes how Mother Devaki was so shocked by this exchange of love, she began to feel a little insecure in that, faced with Yasoda's love. So she wanted to bring down the level of Yasoda's prem, and or at least, as other commentators say, bring her back into this world so that they could have some exchanges. So they said to her, "What woman could forget the unceasing friendship that you and Nanda have shown us, dear Queen of Raja? There is no way to repay you in this world, even with the wealth of Indra." And then Devaki said, "Before these two poor boys had ever seen their real parents, you acted as their parents and gave them all affectionate care. so hidden in there. You are not their real parents. You should understand that. Everything is crooked. Before these two boys had ever seen their real parents, you acted as their parents and gave them all affectionate care, training, nourishment, and protection. They were never afraid, good lady, because you protected them just as eyelid protects the eyes. Indeed, saintly persons like you never discriminate between outsiders and their own kin. And you know how Yasoda responded? She didn't hear a word she said. She was just Krishna and Balarama here, and the milk was flowing. She was so stunned in her ecstasy. So much so that Rohini actually wanted to, she understood this, what was going on, because Rohini Devi had witnessed the Braja pastimes. And she understood what was going on, and she understood Devaki's mood. So she thought it wise to remove Devaki from this situation so that Yasoda could fully exchange love with Krishna and Balaram to their heart's content. So she said, Yasoda is so much absorbed in this ecstasy, she doesn't hear a word that we say to her. We might as well just go outside now and talk to the other members of the Yadu dynasty that we all have such deep and loving relationships with, the other people. The Kuru dynasty was there, everyone had come. So they left. So after some time, and Balaram was there too, Balaram noticed that the gopis were outside, the Braja gopis, and they were trembling violently because they could see Krishna. But because of the presence of all the others, they couldn't interact with him at all. So Balaram noted this, and he thought that if I'm going to save the lives of these damsels of Braja, I have to leave. So he left and went somewhere else. And then Krishna noticed them. And he went outside somehow or another. It doesn't describe how he extricated himself from the motherly embrace of Yasoda and Nanda. But he went outside and he took the gopis to a secluded place. And then Sukadeva Goswami gives us a hint of what must have been going on in the gopis' consciousness, which relates to this. While gazing at their beloved Krishna, the young gopis used to condemn the creator of their eyelids, which would momentarily block their vision of him. Now, they saw Krishna again, after such a long separation. And with their eyes, they took him into their hearts and they embraced him to their full satisfaction. In this way, they became totally absorbed in ecstatic meditation on Krishna. Although those who constantly practice mystic yoga find such absorption difficult to achieve. So there's a Sanskrit word used here, this nitya yujam, which means the yogis cannot achieve this, but Srila Jiva Goswami also explains that it refers to the queens of Dwarka also. Krishna's favorite queens, they also cannot achieve this. The depth of pulling into the heart and the depth of the embrace, the depth of love that the gopis have. So Krishna approached the gopis in a secluded place as they stood in their ecstatic trance. And he expanded himself into many, many Krishnas, and he embraced each and every one of them and inquired about their well-being. He laughed and spoke as follows. Now, some of the acharyas comment that Krishna laughed to lighten the mood a bit, because when he left Vrindavan, he said, "I'm just now coming," and this is tens and tens and tens of years later, and the gopis were suffering, and he had sent messengers, and Balaram had come, but still Krishna didn't come. Srila Jiva Goswami, he says that he left because he was in a lot of anxiety, because he knew how upset the gopis were, and he knew that he hadn't acted properly. This is the gopis. Jiva Goswami says he pretended to laugh. He wasn't actually laughing, like, pretending to laugh in order to make his own offense seem insignificant. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says he laughed in order to make them laugh. And then Krishna said, "My dear girlfriends, do you still remember me?" The gopis didn't giggle in response, by the way. You can just see them. "It was for my relative's sake that I stayed away for so long. I was intent on destroying my enemies." "Do you perhaps think I'm ungrateful and thus hold me in contempt? After all," and Krishna pulled out the philosophy card, "after all, it's the Supreme Lord who brings living entities together and then separates them. But each of these verses and expressions has intricate, deep, multiple meanings. Some make us laugh, some make us think philosophically, and some fill us with appreciation of Krishna's unending love for the gopis." Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur reveals the gopis' thoughts as explained in the Bhagavatam. Krishna says, "Do you think I'm ungrateful and contemptuous? Do you remember me?" And he replies, and reveals the mind of the gopis, "We are not like you, who with hearts shattered by remembering us day and night, give up all sense enjoyment in your distress of separation. Rather, we have not remembered you at all. In fact, we have been quite happy without you." That was in between. This is the exchange of love, meant to make the ecstatic rasa move and provide Krishna and the gopis with still more flavors and taste unimaginable. But the basis of the rasa is the Stai Bhava. It must be there. It must be there. The irrevocable relationship with Krishna. It must be there before one can experience rasa. So Krishna, in the second verse, do you think I'm ungrateful? Looking at them, and they were saying this, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, everything was expressed by the movement of their eyebrows. No words in this one. Just by the movement of their eyebrows, they were expressing these emotions. Then Krishna says, "If you think like this, please hear from me just what the actual situation was." And he says, it's the Supreme Lord who brings everyone together. We read this, Maya Daksena Prakriti. He doesn't only say this to the gopis, he tells Arjuna, Maya Daksena Prakriti, under my adiaksha, under my my control, supervision, everything is moving in this material world. And then he gives an example to strengthen the point. Just as wind brings together masses of clouds, blades of grass, and wisps of cotton, and particles of dust, only to scatter them all again, so the Creator deals with His created beings in the same way. The gopis reply, as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, but the Supreme Lord you are blaming is none other than yourself, O most clever of speakers. Everyone in the world knows this. Why should we be ignorant of this fact? But then Krishna says another verse, which this next verse is very important. And Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has moved its placement from this part, from this this position in the Bhagavatam to after Krishna's final statement. Excuse me, after the gopi's response, which is the 48th verse. So he actually moves this 44th verse as if it was the 49th verse, because he explains the response of Krishna to how the gopis are going to respond to what he's saying right now. So here it means, because again, there are so many deep and complicated, sweet, sweet, sweet meanings from this. And these meanings, as our great acharyas have expressed, they reveal the heart and mind of the gopis and Krishna. And why, it will reveal why the gopis actually become satisfied, especially Srimati Radharani. And this is what Mahaprabhu is experiencing. Why they become satisfied with these words of Krishna. And the first point is, it may seem that they're unsatisfied, it may seem that they're angry, and indeed they are unsatisfied. And they are angry because only one thing will in fact satisfy them, and that is to be with Krishna. And not just anywhere either, to be with Krishna in Vrindavan. And that is ecstasy. So it is not like our dealings in this world, where if someone doesn't, quote, satisfy us, we want to kill them. Or whatever. On the gopis inherently are 1,000,000,000% fixed in their love for Krishna. So here, oops, this is the wrong one that was second. Oh yeah, this is the one I placed second, but this is actually not. This is how the gopis are going to respond, which is the 48th verse. And then this verse, Mai Bhaktir Hi Bhutanam. Maybe you can put that verse, and then we'll go back to this verse. Amrit tatvaya kalpate dristi yad asin matsneo bhavatinam manapanam. This is what Krishna says in the simple meaning of it. He says, rendering devotional service to me qualifies any living being for eternal life. But by your good fortune, you have developed a special loving attitude towards me, by which you have obtained me. In Prabhupada's translation in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna is actually going to say the opposite. He's going to express the actual mood of Krishna. It is, your love for me is so great. It is so special. It is so unique, O my dear gopis, that it is my good fortune that I have attained you. And this is actually the mood of Krishna. And this is Krishna's actual response at Kurukshetra. and to the gopis. He has conquered them by them completely. He whom thousands and thousands, Lakshmi Sahasrara Sata Savior Manam Lakshmis, thousands and thousands of Lakshmis, goddess of fortune, serve Krishna. But it is the gopis who make Krishna feel that he is fortunate. Their love for him is so complete and so extreme. But yet, even in this simple verse, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, when they reply, yes, but you are that Supreme Lord, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, if this is true, that I am the Supreme Lord, then I must be God. But still, my dear gopis, although I am the Supreme Lord, I am God, I am conquered by your affection. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami will explain later on that when Krishna responded to Srimati Radharani in this way, and he expands this greatly, Srimati Radharani knew that he would return to Vrindavan because he had been conquered by the love of the gopis. And that is what she wanted. Dear ladies, now Krishna is going to explain more Brahmagyan to them, as if Brahmagyan, because again, these things have meanings. I am the beginning, after he says, it is your good fortune here, he says, my dear ladies, I am the beginning and end of all created beings that exist both within and without them, and exist both within and without them, just as the elements ether, water, earth, air, and fire are the beginning and end of all material objects and exist both within and without them. In this way, so Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, if you're saying I'm the Supreme, then you lack, and you're still upset with me, because it's everyone's duty to surrender to the Supreme, then you still lack some discrimination. So you need some instructions on Brahmagyan. So now I will give you those instructions to increase your discriminating powers. And Krishna says these two verses. And the second one is, in this way, all created beings, all created things reside within the basic elements of creation, while the spirit souls pervade the creation, remain in their own true identity. You should see both of these, the material creation and the self, as manifest within me, the imperishable Supreme Truth. After having given the gopis the gift of Brahmagyan, and their reply, they take this medicine of gyan as like poison, as you would imagine, because he's giving them instructions on how to meditate upon him. And again, that same reply that he gave Uddhava is, you take this medicine of Brahmagyan. Our problem is not that we're miserable. Our problem is caused by something else completely different. It is caused by prema. And the only solution to this problem is that you come with us again. So then Sukadeva Goswami said, having thus been instructed by Krishna in spiritual matters, the gopis were freed from all tinges of false ego because of their incessant meditation upon him. So this gives the impersonalists something to play with, the way it's stated here, the way that Sukadeva states. But there are internal hidden meanings in this. And with their deepening absorption in him, they came to understand him fully. And then they replied to the verse, this is their reply. The gopis spoke thus, dear Lord, and this is their superficially submissive reply to Krishna's instructions. Dear Lord, whose navel is just like a lotus flower. Your lotus feet are the only shelter for those who have fallen into the deep well of material existence. Your feet are worshipped and meditated upon great mystic yogis, by great mystic yogis and highly learned philosophers. We wish that these lotus feet may also be awakened within our hearts, although we are ordinary persons engaged in household affairs. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains the sarcasm of the gopis, of the meaning behind this. But now, since we're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, I would just like to read how this pastime continues. While dancing, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again began to recite that verse which he had tasted in the association of Srirup Damodara Goswami, and he recites this one. The gopis spoke thus, "Dear Lord, whose navel is just like a lotus flower, your lotus feet are the only shelter for those who have fallen into the deep well of material existence. Your feet are worshipped and meditated upon by great mystic yogis and highly learned philosophers. We wish that these lotus feet may also be awakened within our hearts, although we are only ordinary persons engaged in household affairs." Speaking in the mood of Srimati Radharani, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "For most people, the mind and the heart are one." In other words, they want something and their mind just grabs onto it. They want something with their heart. Their minds and heart are one with their desires. "But because my mind is never separated from Vrindavan, I consider my mind and Vrindavan to be one. My mind is already Vrindavan. And since you like Vrindavan, will you please place your lotus feet there? I would deem that your full mercy." So he's describing the actual deep meaning of this verse spoken by Srimati Radharani. "My dear Lord, kindly hear my true submission. My home is Vrindavan, and I wish your association there. But if I do not get it, then it will be very difficult for me to maintain my life." So Srimati Radharani is opening her mind, her heart to Krishna. "My dear Krishna, formerly when you were staying in Mathura, you sent Uddhava to teach me speculative knowledge and mystic yoga. Now you yourself are speaking the same thing, but my mind doesn't accept it. There is no place in my mind for jnana yoga or dhyana yoga. Although you know me very well, you're still instructing me in jnana yoga and dhyana yoga. It is not right for you to do this. I would like to withdraw my consciousness from you, and I would like to engage in immaterial activities. But even though I try, I cannot do so. I am naturally inclined to you only. Your instructions for me to meditate on you is simply ludicrous. In this way, you're killing me. It is not very good for you to think of me as a candidate for your instructions. The gopis are not like the mystic yogis. They will never be satisfied simply by meditating on your lotus feet and imitating the so-called yogis. Teaching the gopis about meditation is another kind of duplicity. When they are instructed to undergo mystic yoga practice, they are not at all satisfied. On the contrary, they become more angry with you. The gopis are fallen in the great ocean of separation, and they are being devoured by the Timangila fish, which represents their ambition to serve you. The gopis are to be delivered from the mouths of these Timangila fish, for they are pure devotees. Since they have no material conception of life, why should they aspire for liberation? They have no gross body, they have no subtle body. The gopis do not want that liberation desired by yogis and jnanis, for they are already liberated from the ocean of material existence. It's amazing that you have forgotten the land of Vrindavan. Just for one moment, my dear devotees, please remember where you are as you hear the words of Srimati Radharani spoken through the mouth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's amazing that you have forgotten the land of Vrindavan. Her heart is cracking. And how is it that you have forgotten your father, mother, and friends? How have you forgotten Govardhan Hill, the bank of the Jamuna, and the forest where you enjoyed the Rasalila dance? Krishna, you are certainly a refined gentleman with all good qualities. You are well-behaved, soft-hearted, and merciful. I know that there is not even a tinge of fault to be found in you. Yet, your mind does not even remember the inhabitants of Vrindavan. This is only my misfortune and nothing else. This expression, "this is only my misfortune and nothing else," of Srimati Radharani's Mahaprabhu expands still further, and there is also a verse in the Padyavali that talks about it. "This is my misfortune because I don't actually have love enough for you, that therefore I keep you with me. This is my misfortune and my lack." Mahaprabhu's mood while in the Gambira. "My dear friends, Srup Damodar and Ramananda Roy, you are all my life and soul, and therefore I tell you that I possess no wealth of love for Krishna. Consequently, my life is poverty-stricken. My limbs and senses are useless. Alas, my friends, you can now know with certainty my heart. And after knowing my heart, you should judge whether I am correct or not. You can speak of this properly. Love of Godhead, devoid of cheating propensities, is not possible within this material world. If there is such a love, there cannot be separation. For there is separation, how can one live?" And this is Srimati Radharani's mood as she's speaking to Krishna. "My lack of love for you is proved by the fact that I'm still alive. I'm not finding fault with you. I'm finding fault with my lack of love for you. Pure love for Krishna, just like gold from the Jambu River, does not exist in human society. If it existed, there could not be separation. If separation were there, one could not live." Thus speaking, the son of Srimati Sachi Devi recited another wonderful verse, and Ramananda Roy and Srup Damodar heard this verse with rapt attention. These are the moods that Mahaprabhu is relishing again and again. His teachings, the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, are very, very deep. Mahaprabhu said, "I feel shameful to disclose the activities of my heart. Nonetheless, I shall be done with all formalities and speak them from the heart. Please listen. My dear friends, I have not the slightest tinge of love of Godhead within my heart. When you see me crying in separation, I am just falsely exhibiting a demonstration of my great fortune. Indeed, not seeing the beautiful face of Krishna playing his flute, I continue to live my life like an insect without purpose. Actually, my love for Krishna is far, far away. I'm simply exhibiting my great fortune. Please try to understand this. That is why I cry. It is my fortune. Please understand this beyond a doubt. Even though I do not see the moon-like face of Krishna playing on his flute, and although there is no possibility of my meeting him, still I take care of my own body That is the way of lust. This is the heart of Srimati Radharani. In this way, I maintain my fly-like life. Love for Lord Krishna is very pure, like the water of the Ganges. That love is an ocean of nectar. That pure attachment to Krishna does not conceal any spot, which would appear thus like a spot of ink on a white cloth. Unalloyed love of Krishna is like an ocean of happiness. If someone gets one drop of it, the whole world can drown in that drop. It is not befitting to express such love of Godhead, yet a madman must speak. However, even though he speaks, no one believes him. In this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to reveal, to revel in ecstasy day after day and exhibit these ecstasies before Sarup and Ramananda Roy. Externally, there appeared severe tribulation, distress, as if he was suffering from poisonous effects. But internally, he was experiencing bliss. This is characteristic of transcendental love of Krishna. If one tastes such love of Godhead, he can compare it to hot sugar cane. When one chews hot sugar cane, his mouth burns, yet he cannot give it up. Similarly, if one has but a little love of Godhead, he can perceive its powerful effects. It can only be compared to poison and nectar mixed together. Mahaprabhu spoke, and this is the last verse we'll read from this section. My dear, beautiful friend, if one develops love of Godhead, love of Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda, all the bitter and sweet influences of this love will manifest in one's heart. Such love of Godhead acts in two ways. The poisonous effects of love of Godhead defeat the severe and fresh poison of the serpent, yet there is simultaneously transcendental bliss, which pours down and defeats the pride of nectar and diminishes its value. In other words, love of Krishna is so powerful that it simultaneously defeats the poisonous effects of a snake, as well as the happiness derived from pouring nectar on one's head. Purna Amrita Aswadanam. It is perceived as doubly effective, simultaneously poisonous and nectarian. It is very mysterious. If we wonder why, after chanting for so many years, we have not achieved this, we should understand that to achieve the highest, most wonderful thing is to be spotlessly clean and spotlessly pure in our love and devotion for Krishna. There is one little story that's, in one sense, it's too mundane to speak here in front of all the devotees and in front of Govanand. But it's a story of a gymnast, a person, a coach for a gymnastic team. And he was dealing with young lady gymnasts. And he was so strict. He was so heavy with them that they all became discouraged and they were tearful continuously. And the author of the book was asked by one of the mothers of one of the young gymnasts, and they were preparing them for the Olympics, to speak to the coach on behalf of her daughter, that she was just crying and crying and crying because he was so meticulous, and this is wrong, and your finger isn't like this, and your finger isn't like that, and this, and little details. So the author of the book went to the gymnast and said, you know, you should read some books on teaching, perhaps. You have to encourage the students. And the old gymnast who was from Germany, he said, "Sit down, my boy, I want to tell you something." That I've been doing this for many years. And what I am training them to do, to compete in the Olympics against the best gymnasts in the entire world, they cannot make one mistake. They cannot make one mistake. Their training has to be so exact if they are to win. And I am training them to win gold medals, to win the Olympics. And I have seen it. Before the Olympics, they cry and cry and cry and complain. And they complain and complain still more. And they get all their friends to talk to me. But I have seen when one of them wins the Olympics, they don't run to their mothers. They don't run to their fathers. But they run to me, crying, and thank me. What we are being trained for is so difficult because it demands everything and more and more and more. No, to get liberation. Krishna will give liberation. Do we want liberation from the sufferings of material life? Mahaprabhu didn't want that. When Krishna, in his unique jesting way, with all its double and triple meanings, instructed of the gopis how they should see him everywhere and thus be liberated with Brahma Gyan, they spat it up. We don't want that, Krishna. You take this medicine yourself. We have a different problem. We don't care for liberation. We only want to serve you. But not only do we want to serve you, we want to serve you in a very special and unique way. And that is the way of Vrindavan. We can't even do this, standing before you in Kurukshetra, surrounded by you with your swords and your helmet and your armor and the queens and the elephants. So Mahaprabhu is adopting this mood, the mood of Rath Yatra. Oh, Krishna, you have to come to Vrindavan. You have to come to Vrindavan. And the mood of the gopis, their love is so spotless, and spotless means the absence of spots. But it's in spotless, but dyed with the mood of Vrindavan, with that special kind of affection, that Krishna becomes conquered, and he has to go to Vrindavan. And that's the meaning of the verse that we had written before that. And Kaviraj Goswami is going to explain it right now. You have conquered me. You have conquered me. You have conquered me. I will go to Vrindavan. I must go to Vrindavan. And indeed, Krishna does go to Vrindavan. Of course, with this mood, the spotless mood of the gopis' love, Krishna cannot keep away from them for a moment. And this is the other meaning, as we explained before, of all these Brahma Gyan type of verses. That this mood that they have, it is like a whirlpool that carries them to the uppercut lila, because they cannot tolerate anything. Nadanam najanam nasundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamanim They don't want anything. They just want to be a dust, a speck of the dust on the surface of Krishna. And that is so intensified, and that's the platform, as Srila Bhaktivinoda describes as Ruchi. And they're exalting in Mahabhava. The symptoms, the astika, sattvika bhavs simultaneously are erupting in the body of Srimati Radharani at once in her ecstasy, and Mahaprabhu is in that mood. He wants to taste that. He wants to taste that ecstasy that Srimati Radharani is tasting. He's longing for that, and it pulls the resonance of Vrindavan to the uppercut lila continuously, always and only. And that verse that from the Padyavali that both Maharaj and I have been quoting, that separation from Krishna is better than being with Krishna, because in being with Krishna there is one Krishna. And in separation from Krishna, I'm seeing Krishna everywhere, in everything. Not through the intelligence, but just through Krishna being everywhere. Yata mahanti, he's entering into everything. In Lalita Madhava, or in Vidagdha Madhava, there is one pastime that there's a picture of Krishna, a painting of Krishna, perhaps made by Vishakha. And then it comes to life and it's bothering Srimati Radharani and attacking. That's everything is alive in Vrindavan with Krishna. Everything, everywhere, because they cannot. This is the love of Vrindavan. But the cost is everything. Everything plus. And we can't sneak in unless we want to be there into this strange mixture of poison and sugarcane juice. Do you want to taste it? Sometimes I have seen that the answer is no, and therefore I have to stay here. It's so extreme, it's so complete, it's so total. But it is not of the material world, and therefore we must hear very, very carefully. Otherwise, we will be captured by the lust of the dealings, the material lust, or we'll be captured by the terror, thinking that this is material. Who wants to? I've already been through enough relationships in this world. Enough is enough. But Mahaprabhu wanted to taste. His followers, the Goswamis, who had no dealings with the material world, this is all they wanted to taste. The disciplic succession, each Krishna's cover, these people were so above material dealings that Raghunath Das Goswami, they could live on what? On buttermilk or something for days. They didn't want to deal. They had no desire to deal in the material world. They were liberated a billion, 100 billion times over, and yet this is all they were desiring to taste continuously and only. Crying, oh, how could I taste this? So it is not material. And Prabhupada came carrying this. Otherwise, we should really know this, that unless he was carrying this degree of ecstatic sweetness in his heart, no one would have been attracted. Because, and how he made everyone work. And we were all, you know, we joined in the 60s, you know, that was, you know, make love, not war. And then Prabhupada engaged us in war. You know, the last thing we wanted to do was fight. And he had us fighting continuously with the book distribution, with the this, with the that, fighting the world. And it was only to please him. And why did everyone want to please him? Because he was carrying this kind of love. He was carrying Vrindavan in his heart. Otherwise, no one would have been. It was not possible on the philosophy or something like that to become attracted. And what to speak of submissive? Submissive? Doing what you're told? What? Following rules and regulations? But what Prabhupada was carrying, this is what he was carrying. He was carrying the message of Rupa Raghunath, the whole Vrindavan, Giriraj, Govardhan. And we didn't know what it was, what we wanted, but we wanted it. We knew he had it. And then one asks, well, why didn't he just give it? It's like asking the Olympics, well, why don't they just give the gold medals to everyone? Yeah, no, yes, you can have it. You can have it, but you have to want it. And that only, tatralo yam apimuyam ekalam. Janmakoti sukvitar nalabdite. It's a cultivation. It's so much more. It's going up in waves and up, you know, the instructions that come. Let me just find a little. Excuse me for a moment. Radharaman, Prabhu, could you play the harmonium? This is some nectar to pour on our souls from Rupa Goswami and Padyavali. As the rising sun immediately dissipates all the world's darkness, which is deep like an ocean, so the holy name of the Lord, if chanted once without offense, can dissipate all the reactions of a living being's sinful life. All glory to that holy name of the Lord, which is auspicious for the entire world. O Lord, in this birth I have not meditated on you. I have not glorified you. I haven't even slightly worshipped you, nor have I developed devotion for your lotus feet. That is why I suffer in this condition. I am very poor and fallen. O Sri Krishna, O ocean of mercy, please be compassionate on me. O my rising dark moon, my child, you are not yet asleep. No, my sleep has not yet come to me. Listen, my son, I will tell you a bedtime story, and this will make you fall asleep. What is this story that I have never heard before? Please tell it, Mahi. Mother Yasoda told the story. And then when she came to the sentence, then Lord Nrsingadeva appeared from the pillar. Lord Nrsinga was very eager to rip the demon to shreds. A smile suddenly arose on child Krishna's lips. There was once a king named Ram. Yes, said Krishna. His wife was Sita. Yes. On the order of his father, Ram lived in the Panchavati forest, and there Ravana kidnapped Sita. As Lord Krishna heard his mother narrate his own activities performed in ancient times, he suddenly called out, Lakshman, where's my bow? Where is my bow? Where is my bow? I pray that these alarm words of Lord Krishna may protect you all. O Vasudeva, O Krishna, you may make me a king or a poverty-stricken beggar. You may make others respect me, or you may make them hate me. You may give residence in Vaikuntha to me, or you may give me residence in hell. Whatever you do, you will always remain the only goal of my life. No one else will ever become my goal. He may sow his own kingdom, or he may make me suffer the threefold miseries. Whether I suffer or enjoy, I pray that Lord Keshava never abandon me. The drops of honey that trickle from the two lotus flower of Lord Nandanandana's feet are so many oceans of transcendental bliss. I pray that those drops of honey may eternally delight my heart. Here, our Lord herded the calves, and here he played the flute. I pray that I may pass my days shedding tears as I speak these words on the Yamuna's shore. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is decorated with yellow kadamba flowers. A yellow dhoti girds his waist. He enjoys playing sweet flute music in the forest garden. I pray that my heart may become fixed on him. May Lord Krishna, who has long reddish eyes, whose transcendental form is more charming than millions of Kamadevs, who is very pleasing to see for the eyes, and who is the king of the Vrindavan village, I pray that he will appear on the flower of my heart. I pray that Lord Krishna, the mischievous youth who is a flood of handsomeness, who is waves of sweet charm, and who is the heart of mercy, I pray that he may appear before me. May Lord Krishna, who is a fresh rain cloud over Govardhan Hill, a new blue lotus in the Yamuna River, and a great tamal tree in Vrindavan, I pray that he may protect me from the threefold miseries of material existence. This one is by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. I have carefully understood Kannada's Panama Anuvad philosophy. I have studied Gotama's Nyaya philosophy. I know Janmani's Karma Mamangsa philosophy. I have already traveled on the path of Kapiladev's Sankhya philosophy. I have applied my mind to Patanjali's Yoga philosophy. I have ardently studied Vyasa's Vedanta philosophy, and none of these attract me. It is the flood of sweetness from Lord Nandasuno's flute that attracts my heart. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. A dark complexioned thief has stolen my heart. Look, he has already stolen the sins of the surrendered souls. He's already stolen the life breath of Putana, the bracelets and garments of the young gopis, and the eyes and hearts of the saintly devotees. This one's from Rupa Goswami. When in Vrindavan forest, which is glorified by the Yamuna's touch, will I continually wander, filled with the longings of love, loudly chanting the transcendental pastimes of Gokul's king, Krishna, and thickly sprinkling the trees with streams of tears from my eyes. O Krishna, who can forget your face which eclipses the beauty of the moon? Who can forget your splendid transcendental form which is delicate as a new tamal leaf? O Krishna, if wearing a peacock feather crown, playing the flute, your form beautifully decorated with various ornaments and accompanied by the gopis, if wearing those things you glance on us and delight our eyes, then all the desires sitting in our heart become at once fulfilled. His heart agitated in separation from a certain gopi, Lord Krishna sat down in the dark shade of the Vatasi tree by the Yamuna shore, and without using his tongue or without using his upper palate, he played flute melodies as sweet as the warbling of the cuckoo. May those melodies protect you all. in the presence of the of his elders, Krishna moved his head so its shadow appeared at Radha's feet. And Radha responded by moving the vines of her arms so their shadows embraced Krishna. In this way, Radha and Krishna ended their lover's quarrel and became again pleased with each other. Their unsuspecting elders looked on, all glories to Radha and Krishna again becoming pleased. Jubilant, fortunate Radha closed her right eye, and with her left eye, which was just like a glistening red lotus flower, pushed by a fish, she carefully gazed at Krishna. Her eyes flooded with tears and she could no longer see. Her arms were overwhelmed with trembling and could not wrap themselves around his neck. Her choked voice could speak no words, and her heart was restless. After such a long time, the meeting with her lover was just like separation from him. To Krishna, the crown of the Yadu dynasty, the Lord who enjoys transcendental pastimes in Vrindavan, and who is the boat for crossing the ocean of repeated birth and death, I offer my respectful obeisances. And then the final sloka. May Lord Krishna's arms, which are decorated with armlets that glisten because of striking the splendid summit of Mount Mandara, which eclipses the beauty of the forepart of Aravata elephant's trunk. May Krishna's arms, which break the decoration on the cheeks of the great demon's wives by turning them into widows, and may Krishna's arms, which remove the sins of the age of Kali, may those arms protect you all. Giriraj Maharaj is very sweet and wonderful, but yet we must go.